My guest here today is Dr. Scott Borma, the rector of bands at Western Michigan University and a frequent guest here on WMUK. Thanks for coming back to talk about music with me.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're here to talk about a special event, not one that's part of the normal concert season, but 3 days of programs that will bring hundreds of musicians to Kalamazoo to perform. It's the Collegiate Band Directors National Association Conference, and it will result in 3 days of performances during the day and the evening at Miller Auditorium on February 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Congratulations on bringing it to our town.
Yeah, congratulations or condolences. It's a lot of work to put this thing together, but it is a huge honor to be able to put this on. We were asked by our division to sponsor this and host this at our campus. We're really looking forward to it.
Well, talk to me about the significance of this organization.
Yeah, well, it's basically the organization of college band directors across the country, and we meet every year at conferences. 1 year we'll have a national conference in one place, and then on the off years in between, we'll have divisional conferences. There are several divisions, and I think there are five divisions, and our North Central division is the top. It's the upper half of the country. It's 10 states in the upper half of the country in the middle. And so all of those states will be represented at our conference. People will come in and join us for that. We'll have bands from all those various different places performing at our site. And we'll feature, of course, our symphonic band and our concert band will both perform. And so it's a pretty big deal.
How long has this been in the planning?
Well, I think I was asked 2 years ago to host it, and we were going to do it in 2016, and the schedule with Miller Auditorium just didn't work for various reasons. They had something else going on in there, so I said, well, we can't do it this year, but maybe in 2 years from now we can do it, and it just happened to work out.
So, do you have any idea how many people are actually attending or you're bringing to town?
There will be probably, as far as college band directors, there'll probably be about 100 college band directors that'll come in for this. But when we have 10 bands, well, 8 visiting bands besides our 2 bands, each band will have anywhere from 60 students to 100 students. And so there'll be quite a few more college students than directors here and there throughout the conference. And all the concerts are open to the public, so anybody from the area is welcome to come to the concerts as well, and so there's going to be a lot of activity around here.
Well, let's tell listeners about some of the public events, when and where they could hear some music.
Yeah, we start the event on Thursday, February 22, and the first band is going to be the Oakland University Wind Ensemble from the other side of our state, and they play at 2:00 in the afternoon. Other ensembles featured throughout. Later that day, the Kent State University Wind Ensemble will play. That evening, the University of Michigan Concert Band will perform. The next day, our concert band plays. We also have one high school band that will join us. We try to bring in some people from the National Band Association, which is more of a high school band organization generally, and so we're trying to get some high school students in to hear these college bands. And so a group, the John Hersey High School Symphonic Band from Illinois, will be joining us. University of Wisconsin La Crosse Wind Ensemble will perform. The Miami University Wind Ensemble will perform. And our Western Michigan University Symphonic Band will perform on Friday night at 8:30. And then the next day on Saturday, we have one more band in the morning, 11:15. The Indiana University Symphonic Band will perform. In the afternoon, we do it's like a college honor band. It's called an intercollegiate band, where college students from all 10 of those states in our division apply, and we'll put a band together, and we have a guest conductor who will rehearse them throughout the weekend and perform. That'll be the last part of this event on Saturday afternoon at 2:00.
So those public events, they all take place in Miller Auditorium.
Everything's in Miller Auditorium. And we'll say this a few times because it's a hard website to remember, but our website does list all these concert times, and the website is WMUCBDNA.com. So WMU College Band Directors National Association.com.
How long have you been part of the organization? I mean, do you have to, I don't know, be invited or pay dues?
No, you do pay dues. Mm-hmm. There's always money involved in all of these things.
Sure.
But when I became a college band director in 2001, when I was at Eastern Michigan University, 17 years ago. Wow, that's amazing. I guess. And so once you're a college band director, it's kind of assumed that you'll be a part of that organization, because that's where you get all the information about what's happening all over the country in various college bands.
Have you performed or presented or just attended other of these?
Yeah, I go every year, whether it's a national convention or our North Central Division Conference. It's not only do you, one of the big aspects of this is as a lot of new music is played. A lot of composers are writing for wind ensembles these days, and this conference is a good way to expose each other in the college band director community to new works that they think are worth taking a listen to and considering for your ensemble. So it's a great way to stay up on top of what's happening these days in new rep. Of course, there's old rep that's played as well in the concerts. So I attend that all the time, and I've been very involved in, I'm the state representative for FCBDNA, so I kind of communicate with all the college band directors in the state about various CBDNA goings-on and urge them to come to our conferences and those kind of things. And so it's a pretty important part of my world and any college band director's world.
I understand that the spotlight is going to be partly on works by great women composers.
Yeah, we decided we're trying to increase awareness about all the great music being written by women. And I think it's like anything else. We get used to kind of going to these composers that we all know, and there's so many fantastic female composers, or as we say, composers that happen to be female. It's you know, we try to just bring attention to the great music being written. I don't think anybody's opposed to playing it. Right. Sometimes we don't search for it enough. It's not something that you think to go to. So we asked all of the performing ensembles at our conference to, we asked them to program at least one piece on their program of written by a female. And as it works out, most of the groups are playing two or three pieces by female composers. And I think it's going to be a really exciting time to get exposed to some music maybe we haven't heard before.
I think you do see more music by women composers in the band field, mm-hmm. and choral field as well. I think orchestras have more work to do, but
right.
Yeah.
Well, orchestras have so many hundreds of years of music that they can recycle so much stuff, and it still could be the first time you've heard it. And whereas, especially in the wind ensemble area, we're relatively young in this whole process, and so we just have a lot of people that are writing for our idiom these days.
Again, this conference will be featuring live performances and music at Miller Auditorium Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the full schedule listing each band and where they're from is at WMUCBDNA.com. And Scott Borma is here today to talk about it. Why don't we take a look at the program the University Symphonic Band has prepared. And we should mention now that you can get a sneak peek with a performance on Sunday the 18th, this coming Sunday at 3:00 in Miller Auditorium also. So what did you program for Sunday?
Well, we're going to open, speaking of female composers, we're going to open with one of the most famous and recognized female composers of our day, Joan Tower. And she's written this series of fanfares, and she calls them the Fanfare for the Uncommon Woman, which is, of course, a play on Aaron Copland's famous Fanfare for the Uncommon Man. And she wrote one that's a direct homage to that piece, and then she's gone on and written five more. So she has six of these total. We'll be playing the Fanfare for the Uncommon Woman #2 to open our program. And it's all brass and percussion. And my colleague David Montgomery will conduct that.
Does it start with that big drum sound?
Her first one does.
Oh, okay.
So this is different. It does start with percussion, but it's a different kind of percussion. It's not the timpani and the gongs. It's more driving, rhythmic percussion. Very exciting. It's a great way to open a program. And I wish I had a recording for you, but it's for some reason I've not been able to find an actual recording made, so we're going to make one for you.
Okay. I'll hold you to that.
All right.
Then we have a piece by Roshan Etazadi.
Good job.
Well, I recognize it because she wrote that incredibly evocative music that you featured on at least one other concert.
Yeah, and we're actually going to bring that back. We played that in the fall, and we're bringing that back for this program. We just thought it would fit really perfectly, and it happened to fit our theme of the program, and it's worth another listen. It's a three-movement piece, and she's, by the way, Roshan is a professor of composition at the University of Michigan right down the road, and I got to know her when I was at the University of Michigan on my previous job. Just a wonderful person and just a creative person. And she wrote this piece. We talked about it a little bit in a previous interview, but it's basically about Anahita is a Zoroastrian goddess of the night. And in this painting that this piece was inspired by, she's driving her chariot westward, fleeing from the rising sun. And it's a three-movement work, and every movement has got some real unique differences to it and just really depicts this story and these huge horses that are driving her chariots. And very exciting and also gorgeously beautiful music. It's quite a ride.
Well, I'd want to hear it again. Why don't we pick out one of the movements?
Sounds
here?
Great.
Well, we're back with Dr. Scott Borma, who is director of bands at Western Michigan University, and we've been listening to a piece by his University of Michigan colleague, Roshan Etezadi, from a three-movement work called Anahita. That was the first movement, and the way she just uses the band, the symphonic band, in any way she wants, she's not simply staying in the sound world of, you know, marching band or anything.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique voice, and it fits our idiom very well.
Fantastic. Well, that's on the program for both this Sunday and during the College Band Directors National Association Conference, which will be held a few days later on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday here at Western Michigan University with a whole series of concerts in Miller Auditorium. You can see the whole schedule if you go to the special website. And what's that website again?
WMUCBDNA.com.
Okay. I can hear people writing it down.
Yep, I'm trying to speak slowly.
Let's keep going with the musical program for both Sunday and Friday.
Yeah, I was saying before that these conferences are a great way to show off brand new music for ensembles, and we're always looking for new things to play with our ensembles, but we also love the old things. And so I made a point in our program to do a couple things that I think people would just maybe not have necessarily heard, but they know the sounds. And so I chose a classic band work called Hammersmith by Gustav Holst. Of course, everyone knows Gustav Holst from, he wrote The Planets, mm-hmm. and wrote some very famous suites for band that everybody plays. But this happens to be a really unique work of his. It was these famous band suites, the first suite in E flat and the second suite in F, very, very popular. And almost 20 years passed between the writing of those suites and the writing of this Hammersmith. This work just goes into some different places. He wrote it in 1932, and it's got bitonality to it, but he crafts it in a way which means that part of the ensemble is playing in one key, what part of the ensemble will be playing in F minor, while the other part of the ensemble will be playing in E major, and you've got this duality going on through the piece, and he so masterfully puts these two together that it doesn't sound wrong. You know, he's able to craft these, but it has an eeriness to it. And mm-hmm. he's basically describing the River Thames. He spent a lot of his life in a town, Hammersmith, a suburb of London. And he just describes this lazy river that kind of winds through. You really hear this river at the beginning and end of the piece, and it's juxtaposed with this crazy bustling city. And it's a really enjoyable piece, and I think the audiences will really enjoy this amidst all this some other brand new pieces.
Right. And this is one where he sneaks up on you in a way, because it doesn't start off with a splash or a great,
right.
Great catchy tune. You're kind of immersed mm-hmm. in it, and it reveals itself a little slower. And maybe that's partly why we don't hear Hammersmith as much as we should.
Yeah, it takes a little patience.
Yeah.
But it's worth the ride.
Well, the concerts are Sunday at 3 o'clock for the University Symphonic Band itself, led by my guest Scott Borma. Or you can sample many different bands on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday during the College Band Directors National Association Concert Conference. And the evening of Friday is when the University Symphonic
The 23rd. So conference will start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the 22nd and end at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday the 24th.
After the Gustav Holst piece, I'm looking at the program right now, and here's one of those names I need to learn.
Yep, Christy Custer. Kristen Custer is also on the faculty of the University of Michigan. Just coincidentally, the hundreds of pieces I listened to trying to program for this conference just happened to be another one that just shot out at me as, boy, we got to play this piece. People love this piece. And she's also was a former colleague of mine when I was at Michigan, so she's a friend and just a dynamic composer, very unique voice, completely different than Roshan Edizadeh's. She grew up in Boulder, Colorado, so this piece is I can read some of her program notes. She says it's reflective of the craggy, colorful landscape of Kristen Custer's upbringing in Boulder, Colorado. Far from merely nostalgic, however, her forcefully lean and athletic writing style evokes the jagged nature of the raw terrain. A lot of big words here. So there's a lot of, you can almost feel the rocks of the mountains and the glaciers forming these mountains. But of course, it's also peaceful and beautiful. So this is quite a contrast in the music.
From the title, which is Lost Gulch Lookout, I had a completely different set of expectations of more of a Yosemite Sam expectation. But so she is really drawing on life experience as a person who's been in the outdoors in Colorado.
Right. And yeah, yeah, and just looking out over the jagged, majestic beauty.
We just heard music by Kristen Custer, who is a composer originally from Boulder, Colorado, I think you said, Scott,
yep.
And is now based in Ann Arbor.
Yep.
Okay. And we heard her Lost Gulch Lookout, which if you want to hear the piece live, you'll have to join the Western Michigan University Symphonic Band on one or both of the following occasions. One is Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium, where the band will feature its own concert, and then during the College Band Directors National Association Conference, which is coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, February 22nd through 24th. And the university, the Western Band, is playing again Friday night. All the details are at wmucbdna.com. Is this the first time this conference has been hosted here in Kalamazoo?
I believe so. Yeah, it's certainly not in recent years. It's been hosted at Central Michigan University before, but it happens. They try to move it around through the area. Like I said, there are 10 states in our division. 2 years ago, it was at Iowa State University, and since I couldn't host that year, we decided to take the university symphonic band to perform at least at that conference. So we got on the buses and went out to Ames, Iowa, and performed at that conference at that time 2 years ago. And so we're happy to not have to get on a bus this time. We'll perform at our home base.
Mm. Is this a conference where there's judging?
No, it's nothing like that. It's just an opportunity for college band directors and college students to go and hear new music and to hear what other schools are doing. I think that's one of the greatest things is I wonder how the Iowa State band plays, or you know, what kinds of things do they do. And I think it's just a great learning opportunity for all of us. You know, we never stop getting better, hopefully getting better at what we do by listening. And we also feature clinics. So college band directors will give clinics on different sessions throughout the conference.
It is hard sometimes to find ways to access new music, new ideas, yeah, when your job is so demanding as it
sure
is.
Yeah. And it's a great opportunity to, you know, not only to learn more and hear more, but to kind of reconnect with, you kind of, it's a small world in all of these little these groups. And so we all kind of know each other a little bit, and it's great to be able to reconnect once a year at these things. But in addition, this year, we decided to feature our concert band as well. They will be performing at the conference on Friday morning, February 23rd, 10:15 in the morning. So if you happen to be available, you should come out and hear the Western Michigan University Concert Band. My colleague David Montgomery conducts that ensemble. And they're doing a special concert called Chosen Gems. And this college band directors from throughout our division nominate pieces that they've conducted that nobody seems to play. Or I always conduct this piece with an honor band. I don't know if anybody else is playing this, but it's a great piece. And so let's feature some of these things on one concert for us all to hear that maybe we didn't know before. And so David Montgomery is hard at work at throwing a lot of music together to put on this concert. And it will have the person that nominated the piece will conduct that piece on the concert. And so that Friday morning, it's great to be able to feature our concert band because they're exceptional as well. And then we'll perform with the symphonic band that night at 8:30.
You are literally bringing hundreds of people to Kalamazoo for a 3-day conference that brings together some of the top college directors and keeps the idea of playing music into your college years very fresh.
Absolutely.
Demanding,
too.
But it's kind of part of supporting a living art form.
Absolutely. Yep.
I asked you this before we turned on the microphones, but are you also hosting the spring conference on wind and percussion music?
Yes, our annual spring conference will be April 19. It's an all-day Thursday night concert. And this one's a big one. This is our 50th anniversary. 50 years of doing this. We've commissioned a brand new work. Finally, Office Symphonia has commissioned a new work from our guest composer, who is Michael Markowski, very exciting composer, and he'll be here with us that day. And that's right around the corner. I don't want to think about that one yet.
Well, perhaps you could commission a clone of yourself.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
To take care of the extra workload.
That would be helpful.
Well, how shall we end our preview today?
Well, we close our concert with a couple pieces by Percy Grainger, classic band composer. Wonderful music that he's written for our ensemble. We'll play the Colonial Song, just a beautiful ballad, gorgeous piece, and then we'll go right into this piece called the Gumsucker's March, which is just a very fun piece that actually incorporates some of the same themes that he used in his Colonial Song, so it kind of works together as a little two-movement set.
I thought you were supposed to chew gum.
Yeah. Well, gum sucking is something that's only known to Australians that were born in Victoria, Australia. That's where Grainger is from originally. It's his home state. And it's like when you refer to somebody from Ohio as a Buckeye. It's kind of like referring to somebody from Victoria, Australia as a gum sucker. And the eucalyptus trees that are throughout that area are called gums. And the young shoots at the bottom of the trunk are known as suckers. And so that's where it came to. I don't know. Somehow that became to what we call people from that area.
Well, a very enjoyable music by Percy Grainger. Again, the concerts are this Sunday at 3 o'clock. If you want to see a program, simply buy the University Symphonic Band in Miller Auditorium at 3 o'clock. It's free. And the conference starts Thursday and continues through Saturday. A very exciting 2.5 days of programs from so many different ensembles. You'd have to check out the website to see them all.
Right.
That's WMUCBDNA.com.
And all these concerts are free and open to the public, so we love to have as many people come out and check them out. It's a lot of really amazing bands in one place in one small time between the 22nd and 24th.
After the last bus leaves, I hope you have a nice, relaxing drink of your choice.
I'm looking forward to that.
Enjoy the concerts.
Thanks.